Would you open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 19. Numbers 19, please, in your Bible. And I need to read several verses, so starting in the first verse, and you follow along as I read the scripture tonight. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp. And one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. And a priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even." That's evening. "And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And the man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. He that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and shall be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever." Now I'm going to stop reading right there, but we're going to read the rest of the chapter as we get into the sermon. And I want to speak to you tonight on the meaning of the ordinance of the ashes of the red heifer. There is a beautiful picture that was given to the Jews under the law, a beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when he went to the cross and gave his life as an atonement for our sin. And so I want you to listen carefully and trust that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight. All right, let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, now as we look at this Old Testament ordinance, help us to see the picture. Help us to see what you were showing the Jews in picture form with the ashes of the red heifer. And Father, I pray that that we will pay attention, that we will get it, and that, Lord, you will bless it to our hearts as we realize what our Savior did for us when he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, what an appropriate special number a moment ago, singing about Jesus as we're going to preach about the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did for us when he came 2,000 years ago. and gave his life as a sacrifice for sin. Father, thank you so much for our salvation. Thank you for what it does. And Lord, thank you for the amazing picture that is here tonight. Bless it to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, you might remember, those of you that were in the auditorium a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we started a study on the tabernacle. And one of the things that I stressed on that first Wednesday night and also on this last Wednesday night is that everything in that tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything points to the Lord. And here is something that is connected to the tabernacle. You will notice that the priest in verse 4 went and dipped his finger in the blood of this heifer that was offered as a burnt offering. And he took the blood and sprinkled it on the door of the tabernacle seven times. Seven, of course, being the number of perfection. And so there is something here that that is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and a beautiful picture of what the Lord has done for us. All right, now to get me into the sermon, I want you to think with me for just a few minutes about the matter of sin. Have you ever just thought about or just sat down and analyzed just how much every day we sin against a holy and just and righteous and perfect God? You ever thought about that? I tell you, you probably ought not think about it too much, because it'll get you real discouraged real fast when you start thinking about it. I'm talking about sins that we commit that maybe we don't even know we're committing, but yet we're sinning against God. I'm talking about those things that we do that we should not do, those things that we think that we should not think, those reactions that we have to things. I'm talking about a lack of faith towards God. I mean, when you stop and think about it, our sin we sin all the time. We are constantly sinning against God. And the truth of the matter is, we defile ourselves over and over and over every single day. Now, I want you to understand this. Our sins, all of our sins, past sins, present sins, even our future sins, are forgiven when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. All of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven so far as the penalty of sin is concerned. The very minute that you trust the Lord as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. They are removed. They are taken away. They are separated as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you no more. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." When I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, I was saved from hell. I was saved from the penalty of sin. The day that I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was saved. But I want you to know that I stand here today and I can tell you that I am saved. Not only was I saved, but I am saved. Not only have I been saved, but I am now saved. Past, present, but I can also stand here and tell you that when tomorrow comes, if I don't die of kidney stones before then, man, I'm in awful pain tonight. I apologize for everything up front. My goodness. Oh, it just hit again there a minute just as I walked up here, and I'm so sorry. I can't do anything about it, but I'm sorry. But if I don't die of kidney stones, I'll be saved tomorrow. You see, past, present, and future. Those of us that trust Christ as our Savior, we are eternally secure in Christ. Our salvation is not temporary. It is not as long as we hold out what God did for us the day we got saved. He gave us eternal life. And all of our sin was laid to Christ's charge. But now, here's the reality of the thing. And that's why I introduced the message like I did tonight. We still sin even though we are eternally secure in Christ. We all still sin many, many, many times a day. I don't always want to, but I do. I sin against God, and so do you. My sin, I'm not going to stand before you tonight and play the role of a hypocrite. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I choose to sin against God. Now, don't look at me like that. You do too. All right? We're sinners. Yes, we've been saved from the penalty of sin, but we're still sinners against God. And sometimes when we choose to sin against God, and then we lose our joy and we lose that blessing of God upon our lives, and our lives can get so complex sometimes, and it's all because of our sin and letting our relationship with the Lord slide. Now, let's look tonight at another aspect of Christ and His work. I want you to think with me about another aspect of Christ and His work. We all fully, I think, understand that when we got saved, that the Lord washed us in His blood. Our sins are gone, covered in the blood of Christ. God doesn't see our sin when He looks at us. God sees the blood of His Son. And so that's one aspect of it. That salvation that he gives us is eternal. But I want to talk about, from this passage of Scripture, another aspect of Christ and His work. In the red heifer, we find another beautiful type or beautiful picture that I think we need to consider tonight. Here we find... Mercy. Sorry. Here we find that God provided cleansing, daily cleansing, for the sins of the Israelites. And since I am saved, but yet I still sin, I also need daily cleansing from my sin. All right, folks, that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as we who are saved and know Christ as our Savior, as we're saved eternally, you know, if the only reason that God saved you was to keep you out of hell and take you to heaven, doesn't it stand the reason that the very minute that you trusted Christ as your Savior, that He would just take you on to heaven right then? But no, He leaves us here. And why does He leave us here? He leaves us here so we can fellowship with Him. But yet when we choose sin, when we sin and go through life and get sin's effects all over us, God can't fellowship with us. All right? If I regard iniquity in my heart, David said, the Lord will not hear me. All right? So that's what the ashes of the red heifer, that's what this is all about. Now, first of all, let me... first, assure you that we all sin daily. I mean, folks, to be sure, I stand justified before a just God because of my relationship to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But my sin nature is still there. My old flesh is ever present with me. As Paul called it, my old man is still alive and well within me. There is not a Christian in this room tonight who has managed to get through today without committing sin against God. We're sinners, and sinners sin. Now, let's go to the text here, and I did not read all these verses, but let's go to the text here, and let me show you where some of our defilement comes from. All right, look please, if you will, at verse 11. First of all, some of our defilement comes from the fact that we do actually come into contact with sin. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Now he tells us about the ashes of the red heifer, and now he's going to tell you who needs to use this ordinance. Who needs to use the ashes of the red heifer? And here's what he says, verse 11. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. All right? Some of our defilement comes from the fact that we do actually come into contact with sin. We actually touch that dead thing, sin by outward acts of transgression, and we become defiled. Now, before you burst your shirt open, claiming your goodness tonight, let me remind you what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:24. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Who shall deliver me? Notice, he did not ask how he could be delivered, but instead he said, we need a deliverer. And so here's the picture. God said, make the ashes of the red heifer, and you have it available. And he said, now, if one of my people are out here and they come in contact with a dead body, that dead body, under the law, was considered unclean. And he said, if you come into contact with a dead body, all right, now folks, listen, they were all going to be affected by that somewhere along the way. One of their loved ones was going to pass away, and they were all going to come in contact with it. And so is God just, what's he doing here? No, folks, this is a picture. It's showing us something that Jesus would do for us. But he hadn't done it yet, so God was showing in picture form. And so we do actually come into contact with sin. You walk through this old world, and sin is going to affect you. Read on. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Sometimes our defilement comes from the sin of others. Look at verse 14. God said, this is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. I mean, we're going to work around sinners. We're going to come in contact daily with sinners. I hate to say this, but nonetheless, 'tis true. We're going to go to church with sinners. And when we do, that sin is going to rub off on us. This dusty old world is going to leave its mark upon us. Our white garments are going to catch the filth of the world when we're with the world. We've all been in places where things went on and we felt compromised or we felt uneasy about them. We've all been spotted and smeared by the world's jokes and by the cursing and by the jealousy and by the greed and on and on and on. I mean, you again can sit here and thrust out your spiritual chest and say, well, not me. Well, I doubt that seriously. I really do. He's not finished yet. Look at verse 15. Our lack of carefulness can defile us. Look at verse 15. He said, in every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. I mean, you get a jar of jelly out under the law, and you take the top off of that jelly and put it on your biscuit, and then you're so hungry you don't put the lid back on it, you just go about your way, God said, no, 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 no. No, that's unclean. That's unclean. Don't do that. Our lack of carefulness can defile us. Folks, can't you see? God is saying that you can be putting your best effort forward and still sin is going to rub off on you somewhere. You can be as careful as you can possibly be, but yet sin is still going to affect you. Then he's still not done. Look at verse 16. Even the slightest of sin can defile us. Look at verse 16. He said, and whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. I mean, think about it, folks. Even the slightest of sin can defile. I mean, even touch a bone. I mean, a farmer out there plowing in a field, and his plow hits something, and he bends down and says, what in the world's that? And it's a bone. Someone died in that field. And he picks up a bone of from someone. God, I mean, he was being as careful as he could be. He wasn't out there trying to defile himself. He wasn't out there putting forth an effort to defile himself. He was just plowing a field. And you know, I'm sure that most of us, we wake up and we don't sit there and say, okay, I'm going to sin against God today. No, we wake up and we read our Bible and we pray and we say, man, I'm going to live for Jesus today. And then you go into the office and someone's in there using foul language or telling a filthy joke or somebody's in there cursing. I mean, you're going to get affected by that. Sin's going to rub off on you. Sin is of such a nature that even the slightest touch can make us defiled. But wait a minute, lest you think you've escaped. Look also in verse 16. I mean, even when sin is not seen, it can still defile. In verse 16, he mentions a grave. A grave. He said, a man that touches a grave is unclean. I'm telling you, folks, there's a picture here. There's something God wants us to see. So the first thing that I tried to get you to see is that all of us sin daily. And now God went through this list of things showing that if you got defiled, even when you weren't intending on getting defiled, you had to use the ashes of the red heifer. All right, now, secondly, let me assure you that a purification has been provided. All right, now here they were in under the law, Old Testament, and under the law, God gave them a provision called the ashes of the red heifer. But now we're not under the law, we're under grace. Let me assure you that a purification has been provided. Since we are so prone to sin and defilement, it stands to reason that I need a cleansing. How sad would be our faith, how sad would be our salvation if this were not so? Under the law, the unclean person was cut off from all privileges. Under the law, the unclean person was cut off from the house of the Lord. Under the law, the unclean person was cut off from all worship. When you were considered unclean, when you were defiled under the law, there was no communion with God at all. And if we did not have a purification provided by the Lord, we'd lose our salvation every time we sin. Lose our adoption. We would lose our justification. We would lose our sanctification. Now, folks, follow me carefully. God is perfect. He is without sin. And he cannot fellowship with anyone except for sinless people. sinless beings. He does, though, fellowship with us. But he fellowships with us through his Son, a perfect Savior. But God cannot fellowship with me directly or apart from his Son because I still sin. Folks, why do you think the Bible calls Jesus my high priest? Why do you think the Bible calls him our advocate, our go-between? He has to look upon us as purified through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, so that you and I can come boldly before the throne of grace, and the only way we can do that is because our Savior is sitting right there by his side. Now, if there were no daily cleansing, where would the Israelite be? Look at verse 20. If there were no daily cleansing, where would the Israelite be? Look at verse 20. He said, "But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean." He would be cut off if he did not partake of the provision of the ashes of the red heifer. And you and I, even though we're believers, if there were no daily perpetual cleansing by our Savior, where would we be? You see, folks, in Christ's work, I have daily cleansing available to me. In the Old Testament, under the law, they had to take a pot. But what about the New Testament? What about under grace? Well, I tell you, we have traded in the water pot for the whole fountain. All right, did you get that? We have traded in the water pot for the whole fountain. We wash and the fountain flows, and we wash again, and the fountain still flows. You see, I can come before the Lord in prayer, and I can confess my sin to him, and he is a fountain that never runs dry. That water just continues to flow. 1 John 2:2, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Why is Christ my advocate today? I'll tell you why. Because I've sinned today. That's why. We have, present tense, we have an advocate with the Father. That means tomorrow when I need him, he's still going to be there. He's still going to be there. Oh, listen, dear friend, we need to pray. I mean, this daily defilement that we receive as we walk through this old ungodly world brings the necessity of being cleansed from sin when I sin against God. Not so far as my salvation is concerned. That was covered when I was covered in the blood. But so far as my fellowship and God's hand upon me and God's blessing upon my life, I need to keep short accounts with God. Take your Bible real quick and go over to the Gospel of John. Let me show you what Jesus had to say about this. John chapter 13. Oh, mercy. John chapter 13. Look at verse 3. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, or saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And of course, there he's talking about Judas. All right, now, go back to that. Here is Peter and the rest of the disciples in the upper room. Jesus takes a basin and a towel and goes to wash their feet. Now, in Bible times, they wore sandals on their feet. You didn't go down to the shoe store and buy shoes. You just cut a piece of leather and tied it onto the bottom of your foot. All right, now when you walked, you got your feet dirty. The idea here is as they're walking, their feet get dirty. And so the Lord said, I'm going to wash your feet, Peter. Peter said, no, Lord, you're not going to do that to me. You're the Lord. You're the servant. Or you're to be served. I'm to be serving you. You're not to be serving me. And so he said, Jesus said to him in verse 8, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, what is that part? Well, you remember when Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Jesus went to their home, and the Bible says that the girl, one of the girls was complaining, and Mary was in there cooking, and Martha was sitting at Jesus' feet, and Mary comes in, I may have these backwards, but you have to forgive me, I'm telling you, if you knew what I'm hurting right now, you would just be smiling and say, just hurry up and get done. But one of the girls, you fill in the blanks, one of the girls said, I'm out here cooking, slaving away. And my sister's over there, she's doing nothing. And the Lord said, wait a minute, said, your sister is enjoying the good part. She's after the good part. What was the good part? I'll tell you what it was, sitting at Jesus' feet, walking with Christ, listening, growing, learning, getting all she could get. And folks, the idea here with this part is fellowship. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, if I wash thee not, if I don't get the dirt off your feet, then you have no fellowship with me. As he was out here in the world, his feet got dirty. Folks, let me tell you something. As we, even though we're saved, washed in the blood, when we get out in this world, we're going to get dirty. And so we got to get our feet washed every now and then. And since we get dirty every day, wouldn't hurt to get your feet washed every day. Amen. All right, so the idea here, of course, is that daily defilement, as we walk through life, brings the necessity of being cleansed from the sin that I commit. And so as I'm walking through life, I'm to confess my sin and keep short accounts with God. And so when Jesus said that to Peter, Peter took him, didn't quite see it yet, and he said, well, Lord, if that's the case, then don't just wash my feet, wash me all over. And Jesus said, wait a minute, look at verse 10. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. If you've had a bath and you walk down the street, then you come back, you don't need another bath. All you need to do is wash your feet off. Your feet's the only thing got dirty in that 15-minute trip. All right? And so the point is, if you've been saved, you don't need to get saved again as you're walking through life. You only get saved one time. Jesus only died one time. But as you're going through life and you get sin on you, when you sin against God, when your feet get dirty as you're going through life, Then you go to the Lord and you pray. And the Lord forgives you and cleanses you of all unrighteousness. And the part, the fellowship, is sweet. So number three, the red heifer pictures the daily cleansing that is available to us. Notice it was a heifer. That's strange, isn't it? A female. Sacrifices were always male. But this heifer was a representation of Israel, of the house of Israel. It stood for the whole church of God. Church is always referred to as a bride, the female. Notice it was red, of course, to picture the blood, always associated with the putting away of sin. The blood is the life thereof. If there is no blood, there is no life. That's what's wrong with most churches today. They've taken the blood out. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Let it be red. Let me tell you something, folks. Our Savior was never more lovely than when John saw him arrayed in his vesture dipped in blood. Notice it was without spot. This denotes the sinless perfection of our substitute. He was without sin. Not a taint of original sin was in Jesus. Notice also one whereupon never came yoke. Speaking of how willingly our Savior left heaven and came to willingly die for us. Jesus said, I lay down my life of myself. No man takes it from me, John 10, 17 and 18. The Son of God wore no yoke. He willingly laid down his life for each and every one of us. Notice also in the text that every Israelite provided it. So as they saw the priest leading it, they could say, I have a part in that. Oh, how I wish every believer in this room tonight could and would say, my heart is right with the Lord tonight. I have a part in Jesus. Notice also the blood was sprinkled seven times on the door of the tabernacle. Seven is the number of perfection. Notice also that the heifer was burned. And while burned, the priest threw in cedar and hyssop and scarlet. Tradition, Jewish rabbis say that the cedar was wrapped in hyssop and then it was wrapped in a scarlet cloth. The cedar, the sweet-smelling savor, the picture of the sweet-smelling savor, a picture of perfect righteousness. The hyssop, a picture of faith, as they used the hyssop to apply the blood to their doorpost. And of course, the scarlet, a picture of blood. And then lastly, notice the remains were gathered and mixed with water and stored. That's important, folks. It was stored. Look at verse 9. It says, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. They were stored. Does not this storing up suggest that there is a storehouse of forgiveness in Jesus? There was not just enough to save us, but there's also enough to keep us. Amen. I tell you, folks, it's a wonderful thing when a child of God can come before the throne of grace and say, Dear Heavenly Father, and all of heaven hushes, and God bends an ear and says, Yes, son, I'm listening. But that's the privilege that a child of God has. Why? Because Jesus is a fountain. He is a fountain that never runs dry. And now here in this jar was cleansing for the Jews, for every day, cleansing for every hour if needed. And when the Jews became defiled as they were just doing their daily routines, as they were just going through life, when they stepped on a grave, when they accidentally stepped on the bone of a dead man that came through the ground. When someone died and the family rushed in and stood by the bedside as a loved one died. As they were just going through life, just dealing with everyday life issues, they got defiled. And brethren, God said, let me give you a provision for that until Jesus comes. And they did this provision. They did this ashes of the red heifer thing. They did it because they wanted to be right with God. But when Jesus came, he was the fulfillment of all this. This was the type. Jesus was the substance. And now he sits at the right hand of God, my fountain. And boy, when I sin against God, all I got to do is say, dear Heavenly Father, yes, I have his ear. Because my fountain never runs dry. What Jesus did, or what the Jews did in type, the Lord Jesus has done in substance. And our great high priest is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, the Bible says, daily. Daily. You know what that means, Christian? That means that if you're not taking advantage of your high priest, you're missing out. If you're not taking advantage, you're missing out. You're missing out on that good part. There's nothing like fellowship with God. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Lord, I ask you to bless this and help us to realize, Lord, how badly you want our fellowship, so much so that, Lord, you gave your Son a seat at your right hand, and all of us who have been washed in his blood can come and approach your throne boldly. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to realize how important it is that we confess our sin, that we keep short accounts, that, Lord, we stay before the throne of grace. Lord, as we go through this world, we're going to be defiled. We're going to sin many times, Father, without even realizing that we're doing it. Although many times we do realize it, but we sin anyway. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to realize what we have in Jesus. We can enjoy that good part. We can enjoy the fellowship. We can just, Lord, just get right up beside you. And Lord, you walk with us and talk with us and tell us that we're your own. Father, what a privilege we have. And Lord, I ask that you help us tonight to see the importance of staying close and praying and confessing our sin daily. Lord, give us victory here tonight. I pray some Christian sitting here, perhaps that Christian has been struggling in their Christian walk. Lord, may they realize that they have an advocate, that they have a go-between. Lord, may they come and get on their knees and just get their hearts right with you tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.